Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to episode 27. Dude, who's number 27?
Dude, number 27, not playing right now.
That's right.
JR.
You got another 27 up your sleeve?
Former 27?
Sure. How about the sheriff?
The sheriff. Jeff Odgers?
Scott Parker.
Scott Parker, you're right.
27. How about the mooch? Brian Marchment was 27.
Oh, you're right.
You know who else? Alexander Korolyuk was number 27. And let us not forget the most famous 27 of all time. Todd Ellick.
Very nice.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, the tradition continues. I want to do it every week because it's fun. I like sweater numbers, so call me crazy. It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, so here we are. We had a healthy week of hockey.
Dude, great week. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, Dudes on Hockey.
Dude, we are raising a Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale to you, all of our listeners. Happy holidays to you. And I have a question, dude.
Okay.
Did Vancouver miss the plane tonight, or because the Sharks looked like they were playing nobody for the first period?
Yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean, the goalie looked off. Everybody looked off. The Sharks were rolling, and they mailed it in. And we're going to talk about the Vancouver game in just a moment. But first of all, I think the top priority of the week is the Wings game. That was the game, easily the Sharks' worst loss of the season. You know. There's a lot to be said about that game. I think the Sharks played fairly well the first 10 minutes, and then they just kind of... and then it all went crashing down. But it needs to be understood that there's a context here. They played Columbus in Columbus the night before. It's a hard game. Columbus has somehow managed to play well every time against the Sharks, and mm-hmm. they managed to play horribly against everybody else in the league. Mm-hmm. But Columbus ended up beating the Sharks in overtime. Mm-hmm. So the Sharks, again, did not lose in regulation. They're keeping the dream alive in that regard, but
Detroit did not forget what happened in San Jose. They had something on their mind, and they proved a point. You know, they're an excellent hockey team. You know, we would never dispute that. As much as we enjoyed watching the Sharks thump the Red Wings when they came to town earlier in the season, you know, Detroit's still and always will be the real deal. And that's why, you know, San Jose and Detroit are the two best teams in hockey and will be at the end. And hopefully we'll see them playing each other for the right to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, I think the Bruins might have a little bone to pick with that statement, but they do actually, I think, have more points than the Wings at this point. But I certainly agree with that. But maybe we might have a little bit of differences in exactly what the Wings game meant, which kind of leads us to our next segment, which is Wings point counterpoint. Dude, the Sharks played 10 minutes of decent hockey, and then they just gave up. Even when the Wings were humiliating us, the Sharks couldn't even summon the guts to lay a big hit or get into a fight. They laid down like dogs. But you like laying down like dogs, don't you, you front-running, second-round, losing, drink-the-Kool-Aid eunuch?
Mike, you ignorant pessimist with a Matt Carl jersey. The Sharks were screwed by the schedule. They were screwed. They had to travel from Columbus to Detroit and play the Wings, who were sitting there waiting for them. Waiting for them! Like the Lady Bing waits for Datsuk, that sissy, girly woman.
I don't think Datsuk can hear you. He's polishing his Stanley Cup ring. When you can't beat the top teams, you aren't a top team. And the fact that the Sharks couldn't even muster any dignity means that they have none. When did you lose all of your dignity, before or after you started rooting for the worst team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors?
Mike, the Sharks were like your wedding night. They played with half a Chichu and a rusty Pavelski. Not to mention they left their Mahalik and Roenick at home. Try and take the Sharks on with a full roster, Red Wings. Don't you have an auto industry to bail out? Lay off.
That concludes this week's Point Counterpoint. I think we provided both sides of the issue there.
Absolutely.
Well, Sharks fans, you can let us know what you thought. I know that a lot of people are sort of, you know, poo-pooing that loss, but there's points to be said on the other side. You can email us at questions at dudesonhockey.com. It's an important milestone in the season, and I think I could speak for most Sharks fans saying it was a very disappointing result.
But I think in the long run, it's not bad that it happened. It's good. The Sharks will not forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen two pretty wide open games from those two teams to start. When Detroit comes to town in January, I think we're going to see a pretty tightly played, close to the vest game by both teams, low scoring, and they'll definitely be, for lack of a better term, feeling each other out, Mike.
Yeah, they're coming back to the Tank on the 17th of January. Clearly, that game is now circled on the calendar.
That's a must see.
I'm actually traveling. I was actually going to travel that weekend, but I made sure that I'm going to fly home on Saturday so I can see that game. That's one of the reasons why I'm flying home, because that game, everybody has got to see.
That's a priority.
The measuring stick, you know, the who's the best team in the league, you know, is still undecided. There's Boston, San Jose, and Detroit right at the top. Clearly, you have to give the nod to the Stanley Cup champions at this point just because of that result. And you can't count them out until someone beats them in the playoffs. And all of this regular season stuff is a little bit of playing footsie. But the fact is that the Sharks got embarrassed. And I hope they don't forget it. I hope they decide to step it up a notch. And I agree with you. I think it's a good thing because, you know, I said earlier in the season when the Sharks were on this huge roll that the real question about this team is what's going to happen when they meet a little adversity, and they met adversity this week. They lost in Columbus. They got crushed in Detroit. And then what happened? They beat two division leaders back-to-back in the Rangers and Vancouver. Vancouver, I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, we went to the game, and it was out of hand 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Tonight was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
And having watched Vancouver play the Ducks last night, mm-hmm. and you know, you've got the two most penalized teams in the NHL going at it, and they, you know, there were, I think, 14 power plays and almost 70 penalty minutes in that game, and they both play the same style. They're going to irritate you and take penalties and hope that, you know, they can beat you on the special teams. And they tried that approach with the Sharks tonight, and it clearly, that's not going to work. We've seen Calgary try that this year. Mm-hmm. We've seen the Ducks try that against the Sharks twice, and it doesn't work. The Sharks can't be taken out of their game by simple thuggery. And Vancouver took, five minor penalties in the first 10 minutes of the game, and before they knew it, we were up 3-0.
That's right. And the Sharks scored even strength early in the game, which was great. And then the Sharks scored on their first two power plays. It was 3-0. We thought Corey Schneider might get the hook right then and there.
Instead, they waited in 45 seconds into the second period before he could go have a beer.
Right, and then the Sharks scored two goals in the first minute of the second period to make it 5-0. I got to give you a little bit of props. You predicted 5-2, which was close. Mm. But the fact was is that the Sharks sort of... I guess you could say coasted. I guess you could say they played more conservatively going down the stretch. One important stat when you think about, sure, Vancouver outshot the Sharks, but the fourth line, and that is Shelley, Kavanaugh, Jamie McGinn, played over 11 minutes tonight. And that means that...
They got power play time in the second period.
Yeah, they did. So it was clear McClellan was rolling four lines the entire game. Usually you see that fourth line get 5 minutes, and they got double that tonight. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I think the Sharks, I guess you could call it they took their foot off the gas, but another way of saying it is they played smart. They kept their guys rested. They kept their guys, you know, there's no reason to put Jumbo out there and double shift them when you're up 5-0. There's no point.
You could even say that Vancouver almost threw in the towel as well. They stopped playing their style of hockey.
They did.
At the beginning of the second period, when they found out, fell down 5-0. They didn't take a penalty the rest of the second period. They weren't playing very physical. They got a lot of shots. A lot of them were pretty weak.
Mm-hmm.
Nabby didn't have to make an amazing save tonight.
That's right. He made a couple of good,
he made some good saves, but he didn't have to do anything that was outstanding or incredible. You know, they had 33 shots. None of them were like spectacular saves.
Right.
It was pretty average, and the Canucks were beaten after 21 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
They rolled over, which I was a little surprised, mm-hmm. given what an aggressive team they are, that they kind of waved the white flag.
Not to mention the amazing powerhouse that is Steve Bernier. He was invisible. I actually looked for him a couple of times, and I honestly couldn't find him.
He's what a great power forward. He's got 15 points. He's a plus three. And he's 13 penalty minutes. He's so gritty.
And he's on the top line with guys that each have 30 points. And
not for long.
And he doesn't have... Yeah, exactly right.
Not for long. What do you think is going to happen when Sundin now, mm-hmm. God has spoken and coming down from the Swedish hills and decided that he is going to play for the Vancouver Canucks for his millions.
Which we both had wrong.
Right.
I called Canadians first, and then I called the Rangers.
I still think it would have been the Rangers if they could have figured out how to do it.
Totally agree.
And I really thought that the Blackhawks were going to be in there too, just because, you know, he really would be an amazing missing piece for them. Mm-hmm. To have him centering that second line would make them, you'd instantly have to put them in the top four in the NHL. Not that they're not there already. Mm-hmm. But what's Sundin going to do to the Canucks?
Well, it's interesting. I want to know where they're going to play him because Henrik is the assist guy, and he's got 26 assists or so this year. And why would you move him to the wing and play Sundin on the top line?
They won't.
So that means you would put Sundin on the second line.
That's right.
And center...
Dimitra
and Burrows? Is that who it would be?
I guess so.
So
let me look.
I think, you know, that's an interesting thing. I think that would definitely make the team better because that second line would certainly have a lot more punch. It's not a bad move for Vancouver to sign him. Frankly, they had the cap room. They want to make a run. They're leading the division right now.
It's a great move.
Do I think that they're actually really going to win two playoff series? No, they could win a first round playoff series, but I can't see them winning a second round playoff.
It depends
series.
On the matchup. It really does.
Even so, if you're talking Sharks, Detroit, Ducks, Chicago, Vancouver as top five, how is Vancouver going to beat any of those other four teams? They're not.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that because you could say that they arguably have the best goalie in the NHL.
Right.
So
who's not playing?
Not right now, but he will be when the playoffs come around. I'm trying to take a look here and see how much cap room the Canucks are still going to have left. Now that they've brought in Matt Sundin, they only have $1.3 million left. So, you know, they're a little bit hamstrung. But the idea that Oland maybe is available, mm-hmm. his 3.5 in order to get another, you know, impact player, I think that they're definitely more of a threat. Obviously,
I'm not scared by them. After watching them tonight, how can you be scared by that?
Yeah, but you could, if we go back to point counterpoint, you can make the same argument. This is not the Canucks team I watched last night.
Right.
It's not the same team. We didn't see the Canucks on their A game. I think it'll be interesting to see them if they had a day off, if we play them in Vancouver. I want to see them again against the Sharks. I think that we're clearly a better team and their style will not get under our skin, but they're better than what they showed tonight.
Okay, yeah, it's interesting. I can't believe that they laid down the way that they did. It's funny. I thought this team might have a little bit more chutzpah.
No chutzpah to be found tonight. Okay. What about the Rangers game, Mike?
Well, the Rangers game, I don't know. Were they tired? I mean, I need your take on this because I couldn't really decide. I think the Sharks showed a lot of heart in hanging on to the lead. By all accounts, the Rangers dominated the third period, and yet the Sharks still won. Mm-hmm. The Rangers are no slouch here.
They're a great team.
They're not a tomato can. It's not like we're playing the Islanders here and the Sharks squeaked it out. They're playing a division leader who was close to, or at one point was leading the Eastern Conference in points mm-hmm. for a good part of the season. So it's not, I don't see, some people sort of colored it as a disappointing game. I don't see how you can do that.
I thought it was a really entertaining game, actually. Very tight contest against a good team, and to see the Sharks come back with, you know, I think character is a good word. They showed a lot of character, I thought, to play when they were tired, when they could have still been reeling against the embarrassment that was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. They beat a good team, a team that the Rangers came into the building and they were ready to go. You know, they wanted to challenge the Sharks, and they did, and up until the end, it was a good win.
And if you're tired, and you don't think you have the legs to match your opponent, the way to win that game is to try to get a lead early and hold on. And that's what the Sharks did.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a horrible thing to do, but in my beer league experience, that's the way you do it. If you're short shift, you got guys that aren't very good, your top players aren't there, you just try and score a couple goals quick and then see if you can scrabble and hold on to the lead. And that's what the Sharks did. You got to give them credit for that.
You got to like Zhirdev.
Yeah.
He's good.
Where'd he come from?
Man, Columbus is the black hole, I suppose, of skill players, although they are a tough matchup. We really haven't touched on that much as far as the Blue Jackets. Why are they such a tough matchup for the Sharks, Mike?
I think Ken Hitchcock has got them playing disciplined hockey, which works. You keep the Sharks off the man advantage, which they're so dangerous. Vancouver found that out tonight. You stay out of the box. You cycle low. You try and...
Physical. They are physical without taking penalties.
You try and win the battle to loose pucks. And then you got a couple skill guys like Nash that can put the puck in the net. And it's just, you fight for every inch of ice. And the Sharks are good at that. But yet, I guess they... And plus, it helps to have a hot goalie. I mean, Steve Mason, hello.
Yeah, that kid's good.
I mean,
absolutely.
People were talking Calder Trophy with this guy. So, and he had an amazing night.
You got to think. I mean, Versteeg has certainly cooled off. I can't give him away in my fantasy team. I'm trying to trade him. I mean, his stats look good, but he's been dropped to the second line. He's not on the top line anymore. And since they dropped him, I mean, he's completely cooled off. He's a good player, but he's a second line player. He's not going to set the world on fire. Stamkos has been a steamer, big steamer.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, and Brassard's out. So
right.
Because he thought he was a fighter, not a lover.
Yes.
So you got to think Steve Mason is the front runner for sure now.
Mm-hmm. Although I could make a case for Tom Cavanaugh.
I don't want to see Columbus in the first round, and I've talked about this before. I think the Sharks would win that series, but that would be a really tough series. So come on, Nashville.
Yeah, there's plenty easier.
But don't let us down.
Speaking of fantasy, we got an email which relates to another thing we have to get to, which is the poll. And Nick sends us an email to questions@dudesonhockey.com, and Nick says, by this time next week, I think I will have suffered back-to-back losses to both of you in fantasy.
You did.
That's amazing.
I've climbed out of the cellar.
I finally won one. I was killing John last week, and then I got no goalie stats, so I ended up losing 7-6. I was winning like 10-3. I was killing it. Ah, so frustrating.
You should have drafted Ty Conklin.
Yeah, I drafted Osgood, who is now hurt. But Nick says, I'm considering changing my name from the Seals to the Zamboni since everyone cleans the ice with me. Nick, I feel your pain. I think I lost like 4 or 5 weeks straight. I'm in my standard 7th out of 14 place now, and I hope I'm on the upswing because I beat your ass pretty bad.
You're on the slow climb to the cellar.
Dude.
You always end up in the cellar.
That's not true.
You're gonna.
No way. My team's good. I got Malkin. I got good guys. Sort of. I got Setoguchi had a point tonight. Camilleri had a point tonight. I got lots of guys with a point tonight. So
ding, elevator going down.
Oh, man. Anyway, so let's get... So Nick says, in other news, I have to say that I think Lemieux Watch has become the most riveting news item of my week. And speaking of Hervé, I thought I'd chime in on the poll question. While I was sad to see him go, you really have to consider that what we got back was not just 2 second-round draft picks, thank you very much, but also $3.5 million in cap space, which enabled us to pick up 70% of Rob Blake. So if you think about it as 2 second-round picks and 70% of Rob Blake, yeah, it was worth it. And I have to say, Nick, I agree with you 100%, and so do most of our listeners. It was 11-3 in the poll question that, given everything that's happened since, would they make the Reve trade? And the answer was yes. I don't know. It's not... I liked Craig Reve. As much as anyone, I liked how he stood up for
sure.
The Sharks. But
yeah. Do you know what Craig Reve did this week?
He sat at home.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Shoulder out.
Right.
Out. He's been out at least 2 weeks since December 12th. Oops.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, not good.
But we do have a new poll question because the win tonight means the Sharks are unbeaten this season at home. That means unbeaten in 2008-2009.
Dude, raise a beer to that one.
Raise a beer. I'm drinking for that. So that's awesome.
Mm, Delicious.
Alcohol-y. But so the new poll question is, when will the Sharks finally lose a regulation game at home?
What are the choices, Mike?
The choices are A, Chicago on the 31st of January, which is more than a month from now.
Okay.
B, which might be a popular pick, Detroit on the 17th of January.
Possible.
C, Vancouver, which we face again on the 20th of January.
Revenge.
D, another game, possibly the Islanders on the 3rd. Nah, maybe not. Not the Islanders.
You know it's going to be now.
Oh, come on.
Kyle Capozzo.
No way. Or E, never. The Sharks don't lose at home this season. So
nice.
Go to dudesonhockey.com, our loyal listeners, and weigh in on the poll question, or feel free to send us an email if you have a strong opinion about a game that is not listed. But of course, you could answer other. But anyway, we need to get to, as Nick says, the best segment of the show.
What is that, Mike?
You know what time it is. It's Lemieux Watch 2008.
Dude,
Claude Lemieux had a little bit of a slow week.
Oh, did he? No.
Did a little bit. No points.
Okay.
Plus one.
Okay, plus one.
Four shots.
How many games?
Two games.
Okay.
They had a game snowed out or something.
Interesting.
In Portland, it got rescheduled. And he had two penalty minutes. So that means Mr. Lemieux in 12 games has 5 points. He's a plus three and 12 pims.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about Claude Lemieux. So how many games has he played? 10?
12.
12 games. I believe the tryout contract means that he can play 15 games on a tryout basis.
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks can re-sign him to another tryout contract, which will put him in Worcester. But the Sharks can't sign him to a third tryout contract. So at that point, it's a little bit of put up or shut up.
Now, are we sure we know what the situation? Because the other option is that Worcester could have signed him to a minor league deal. Is that right?
I think that's possible. Because given what's happened with other players in the league over the past years, like Brian Boucher, for instance, he played for the Phantoms, but he was not technically property of the Flyers, to my knowledge. And so he didn't count against the cap. The problem with Lemieux is if the Sharks sign him and he's playing in the minors, it still counts against the cap. And as we all know, the Sharks are very close to the cap at this point. So there's no reason to sign Lemieux unless for sure he's going to play. And given the way the Sharks are playing right now, I just don't think that's a good bet. But what could happen is...
Do I smell a bet here, Mike?
Okay, bring it. What do you got?
I'm going to say that given the likelihood of the Sharks making a trade at the deadline being slim and none...
Certainly a big trade, and that's pretty much nixed.
That instead of making a trade, they're going to sign Claude Lemieux to veteran minimum and bring him up in February.
Okay.
So I bet you that Claude Lemieux is a member of the San Jose Sharks on
Valentine's Day?
No. What's the trade deadline?
I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay, whatever the date of the trade deadline, he will be on the Sharks roster by two games after the trade deadline.
Okay. Two games after the trade deadline.
So it'll be like as if he was acquired.
That's a bet. You got it.
All right, dude.
Dude, here we go.
I'm excited.
Me too.
For a beer?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sounds good to me. So weigh in on that, Sharks fans. We'll see what Claude Lemieux does. At that point, though, if the Sharks could, the Worcester Sharks are somewhat autonomous. They probably could sign him to a minor league deal, but that would put him available to every other NHL team. They could sweep in and sign him to an NHL contract, in which case he'd go and play for them.
We're not in this is the spirit of the holidays, but the Sharks are not in the charity business. He's in Worcester for a reason.
Yeah.
To help the Sharks win a cup, baby.
When Doug Wilson doesn't agree with that statement, he has disavowed that opinion time and again.
Of course he's going to say that right now. Dude, what are you doing for the holidays?
Dude, you know what I'm doing for the holidays? I'm just chilling here, but I have wishes for the Sharks.
You do?
I think we both do. We have Christmas wishes, do we not?
Yeah.
Dude, is this you singing?
I don't think so. Is this you singing?
I think it's both of us singing.
That would be inappropriate.
It would be a little bit. But anyway, what should we wish for? What do you wish for the Sharks, dude?
Dear Santa, I want 10 points for Jody Shelley so Mike will have to buy me a beer at the first playoff game.
Dear Santa, I want more than 10 points for Jonathan Chichu so he can actually earn his $3.5 million this year.
Dear Santa, I want Alexei Semenov traded to the Nashville Predators so that when we sweep them in the first round, as is the tradition come playoff time, we can laugh at him and wave sticks of fire.
Dear Santa, I want the Dallas Stars to be last in the conference because the fact that they're terrible is just not enough. I want them to be in last place.
Dear Santa, I want the Tampa Bay Lightning to have the worst record in hockey and then lose the entry draft lottery.
Dear Santa, I want Dan Boyle to win the Norris Trophy to further stick it to the aforementioned Tampa Bay Lightning, and also because they couldn't even keep Matt Carl.
Dear Santa, I want Marcel Gotch to keep blogging his way to a Pulitzer Prize.
Dear Santa, I want Kyle MacLaren to finally get healthy and to find himself an NHL job because Steve Downey is a punk and that was a cheap shot.
Most of all,
most
Santa,
of all,
we want
a Stanley Cup.
Oh, and I also want The Dark Knight on Blu-ray. Thanks, Santa.
Thank you, Santa. Oh
my gosh, dude.
Oh my god, you gotta love it. I gotta turn this off.
Dude, well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays, dude. I think that does it for this week of Dudes on Hockey.
Dude, you know what I'm doing on New Year's Eve?
What's that?
I am going to the Mississippi River Kings.
Wow.
Minor league hockey game in Mississippi, and I'm gonna give you all a full report. What it's like to see a little bit of Mississippi hockey.
I want a full scouting report on the Mississippi River Kings.
I'm going to bring it.
Good. Good. I hope you do. To all of our listeners out there, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a happy new year. We're actually going to be taking next week off, but we will be back 2 weeks from now.
With your first place San Jose Sharks in 2009.
That's right. And back again for episode 28 in 2009. So take it easy, Sharks fans, and we'll talk to you again 2 weeks from now, same time, same place.
Go Sharks!
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.